We're reading from Romans chapter 8. Now, this is the part where I say a few things to you, and then in the middle we'll have a hymn, and then I'll say a few more things to you. I won't let you off easily this morning, and I'll say a few more things to you. And then we'll lead into a time of communion together. We're thinking this morning of really law and grace, and what God has done in Christ, and how we can set that, I could say, against, but together with the law and Christ as the fulfillment of the law. In the early years, or the latter half of the 50th and early years of the 16th century, a young Augustinian monk wrestled with the religion of his forefathers and indeed foremothers. From an early age, he had felt called to serve God as a monk. He believed that he could be set free by serving God in his religion. But he had problems. He felt that the religion around him was all rules and regulations. And somehow these rules and regulations, although he tried to keep them and observe them, he was always breaking them. He could never somehow find fulfillment in this of the legalities that surrounded him. He tried his best to serve God, but found that the desires within his life, and especially his sexuality, gave him immense guilt and personal problems. He took confession, and the priest who received his confession told him, all you have to do is love God. That's all you have to do, just love God. And he looked at his confessor and said, love God? I hate God. That's what he said. Terrible thing to say, but that's what he said because that's the way he felt. He felt that God was the one who condemns him. God was the one who points the finger at him. The religion of his forefathers somehow didn't work. And then one day, whilst reflecting on the letter to the Romans, perhaps this chapter, perhaps elsewhere in Romans, this young monk suddenly realized that it was through God's love, through God's gracious acceptance of him, that he could find fulfillment. God loved him just as he was. Young monk's name, of course, was Martin Luther. Realized that God loved him. God had accepted him in love. And if you look at the early wood carvings of Luther, he comes across as a very emaciated figure because he was always fasting. He was always trying to do enough. He was always trying to be good enough for God. I could never be good enough. But when he discovered God's love in Christ, God's gracious acceptance of him, his life, his whole experience changed. And if you look at the later paintings of Luther, you'll see he's a somewhat more ample figure with a slightly larger girth. He was prone, apparently, to pastoral chit-chat over a few beers, I understand, in Germany. And he was married to a former nun, Katie, and they had several children together. He renounced the celibacy of his former years, and somehow he realized that God loved him and had given him this gracious acceptance. And this is where he began to understand this dialectic, this relationship between the law and God's grace. It was because of what God had done in Christ that somehow gave him the ability, the power to observe the law, to keep the law. And many of us, I suppose, have our own, in each of our lives, we have our own taboos, our own do's and don'ts with our little rules that can sometimes enslave us. We need guidelines. We need the law. We need the law as a kind of measuring stick. We need the Ten Commandments. But it can only they can only be fulfilled through God's gracious love in Jesus Christ, as Luther discovered after all those years of torturing himself as an ascetic monk. So that's what I want us to think of this morning. I want to think we have the law, we have the commandments, and if we read Exodus and Genesis, and especially Exodus, we realize that these commandments are all developed, and there's actually more than 10 commandments, a lot more, hundreds of them, but you can read how the commandments are developed in Exodus. And they are still relevant for us. They're still relevant for our lives. But somehow we can only understand them through God's gracious acceptance of us in Jesus Christ. Laws can be harsh. An acquaintance of mine some years ago was caught going through customs in possession of an illegal substance. I'd ended up in jail, considerable jail sentence. Law can be harsh, can be unbending, can be hard if we are caught breaking it. Some of us at times feel condemned and enslaved. Some people can get their lives into a state where they feel condemned and enslaved in their lives. They feel that there's rules and regulations that surround them that are unyielding, unbending. Some people, like Luther, can even begin to think that God is there to catch them out, that God is somehow the one who points the condemning finger. And this is what Paul is thinking about in Romans chapter 11, chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. He reminds us that there's no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. In verse 2, he reads in our translation, "Through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death." It's as if he's in Paul's mind, and this is complex stuff, but Siphony's mind, there's somehow a law that has become rigid, unbending. It condemns, it makes us feel guilt. But somehow if the Spirit of Christ is with the law, it becomes something that we can fulfill, something that we can live out in our lives properly without feeling that we're condemned, because we have God's gracious acceptance. So Paul, in the same way that Martin Luther did many years before Martin Luther, obviously, reflects on the religion of his own forefathers and foremothers. He thinks about the life he led as an academic, as a religious leader, and how he was given a mandate to imprison and punish and even put to death the followers of Christ. That was how Paul led his old life. But we know what happened to Paul. We know that he was converted, that he had his conversion experience, the Damascus Road experience. One of the biggest U-turns of all time, I think. The Damascus Road experience. And after being the one who persecuted, became the kind of arch theologian, in a sense, behind the growth of the early church. Paul reflects on how he had been set free because of God's gracious acceptance of him through Jesus Christ. Karl Barth, the great Swiss theologian, towards the end of his life, did some travel, and he went to America. He went to Union Theological Seminary near New York. And a student put up his hand and asked Karl Barth, who was a very sophisticated theologian, he asked him, "What's your greatest theological discovery?" And he looked down for a while, and then he looked up. And to that room of some of the greatest theologians, Paul Tillich would be there, Reinhold Niebuhr would be there. These are all great theologians in the 20th century. That room, he said, "Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so," he said. That was his greatest discovery. And so this is what Luther is saying. This is what Paul is saying to us. The greatest discovery you can make is given to you. It's free. You don't have to pay for it. There's no interest rate. There's no charge. Free. God's gracious acceptance of all of us. God's love in Christ. And this love, this presence, makes it possible for us to fulfill the requirements of the law in our own lives. We're told in verse 3, it said that Christ was sent in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. What does that mean? It means that Jesus Christ, the human being, was in a sense like us, but remained faithful to God. He was dragged before the Roman authorities, before the law and the religion of his time. But somehow he remained faithful to God. He did not give in to the corrupt side of the state and religion. When he was taken up into a high place, he knew he could have all the kingdoms of the earth that he wanted, but he remained faithful to God and indeed to his own mission. His life was centered in God. So we have this image of God, image of God that we have in Christ. This person, Jesus Christ, died, and God somehow identified with this person in raising him again. Jesus appeared to those who were closest to him at that time. And in Christ, God somehow touches death. Yeah, touches death. Feels death. God feels death within God's self. And yet Jesus is raised again. So we're reading Paul of God's gracious acceptance of us in Jesus Christ because of what Christ has done for us. God accepts us. And that's the greatest discovery you can make. The greatest discovery you can make in your life. It's worth more than anything else. It's more valuable than anything else. Sure, we love our children. We love our families. We love those around us. They're of great worth. We love them dearly. But God's gracious acceptance of us is, I think, the greatest thing we can have in our life, to know that God loves us. And that's what we do as we approach our time of communion together. We remember Christ's death. We remember Christ's death until he comes again. I want us to move towards communion, firstly, by preparing ourselves personally in prayer. Let's just pray quietly to ourselves, and we prepare ourselves for communion before God, accepting that God has accepted us graciously in Jesus Christ.